I had a classmate that I only went to school with for 2 years. And those 2 years were kindergarten and second grade. And we lived down the road from each other, so as kindergartners, we rode the same bus home almost every day. And at the end of second grade, she moved away, and I didn't see her again until the summer after I graduated from high school. And actually, I heard her before I saw her. There was something about her voice that was so familiar that I could identify it years later. I could hear her talking an aisle away in the grocery store, and I walked around the corner and I called her by name. Now, you can imagine she was startled, surprised at first. How did I know who she was? She didn't recognize me all those years later. And she was also a little bit concerned that somehow, after all these years, she still sounded like a second grader. I have a sense that we all have memories like this. Certain voices that sound clearly in our minds. It may be the radio announcer of your favorite sports team. For me, it was Bob Uecker. I listened to that man call so many Brewers games as a kid growing up. Or it might be Paul Harvey's voice, who I heard every Sunday morning on the way to church growing up. There's the voice of the camp director, who I loved to hear speak and sing whenever he visited our church. He had this big, deep, booming voice, and he looked like Grizzly Adams. It was pretty cool. As I said, I'm sure you all have some voice memories like this as well. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." But how do we know Jesus' voice? How do we know we are following the right shepherd? Early in chapter 10, right before today's gospel, in another year, this is the gospel we would read, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." And his words caused controversy in his own day. We are told right after that, again, they were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, I wish I could say that the controversy ended and we are all clear on the voice of the Good Shepherd and we're all clear of what that voice sounds like. But those who follow Jesus are still divided today. Some are sure that Jesus is calling them to say and do one thing. Others are convinced that Jesus is calling them to say and do the exact opposite, and all suffer because of it. When I'm honest with myself, if I want certainty in life, then I need to place Jesus in a box that I have created, following the rules that I have created. Of course, that's a silly question, right? Can I really build a box to hold Jesus? Or does my lack of understanding, or does my box size understanding need to be pulled apart, opened up, set free? When I'm honest about my faith, then I have to be honest about my doubts. I can turn to Mark's gospel and proclaim, "I believe, help my unbelief." I can hear the resurrection encounters with Jesus and his disciples and recognize the doubt that they feel, as if their own eyes are deceiving them. We heard it last week. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. They both believed and doubted. It was the Lord right there before them. And that's so often what faith looks like. Faith fills the gap between belief and doubt. I like what Pastor Tom wrote in his Evangel article this month. He says this, I'm going to quote a big chunk of it because it's good stuff. When Jesus teaches we receive the kingdom of God only as little children, he does not frown on maturity. This blessed welcome of children comes right in the middle of some of Jesus' most challenging teachings on marriage, divorce, and material possessions. Nevertheless, Jesus' kingdom is only received as a gift. We stretch out our hands with all the utter dependence of a small child. The kingdom of God belongs to children, and children in the kingdom never cease to grow. I say amen to all that. We can only continue to grow when we continue to listen to the shepherd. We will have moments where we question or doubt things that at other times we were convinced were true, we were convinced we knew them absolutely. Frederick Buechner wrote one time, "Doubt is the ants in the pants of our faith. It keeps us squirming and from getting too comfortable with our own understanding." To be clear, doubt isn't a bad thing. Doubt keeps us from claiming that we know all there is to know about the one who is truly unknowable. Doubt can lead us into asking deep questions instead of holding on to simple answers. This week, I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of personal questions that I'm not getting into in the middle of a sermon. But I have a lot of questions about this reading from Acts as well. Who is this disciple named Tabitha? And why don't we get to hear a lot more about her? What is it about the asking of Peter that he gets up and goes to that place where they laid her as soon as he is asked? What do the widows think will happen, and why are they showing Peter all of Tabitha's handiwork? Why does Peter put them all out of the room before he kneels and prays? But my biggest question may be, and I had the same question about Lazarus so often, why was Tabitha or Lazarus raised from the dead if they were going to die again eventually? Do you have some of these same questions? Do you have a bunch of questions that I didn't think of? While I have a lot of questions for this scripture, there's also some things that I hear so clearly written in this place. That Tabitha was a disciple, a generous person, full of good works and acts of charity. There was a group of widows that loved her dearly, loved not only the work that she did, but loved her as a person. And we see here that Peter not only has the power to heal, to restore sight, but he has the power to raise people from the dead. And we know that Tabitha's resurrection stirred the faith in many people. So I'll draw you as bold a line as I can draw. I believe Tabitha heard the voice of the shepherd in her life. She heard the voice of the one who called her to love her neighbor as herself. She heard the voice of the one who called out to her to care for the widows in her midst. She not only heard Jesus' voice, but she followed his commands. Where is the Good Shepherd calling you? Where are you being called to continue to grow? I get pulled back so often to the night of Jesus' betrayal after he had washed the disciples' feet. He tells them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And even on my best day, I can say, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, I hear you, but I'm going to need a lot of help to do this work that I'm called to. Again, I ask, how do you know you are listening to the voice of the shepherd? I love Marty Haugen's words in his setting of Psalm 23 that we sang this morning. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Our wants, our fears can lead us away from Jesus, can lead us away from the voice of the Good Shepherd. Our wants and our fears can lead us to death even. They can draw us away from the voice and the safety of the Good Shepherd. We know it's the shepherd calling. When the shepherd calls you to love those that it would be easier to hate. When the shepherd calls you to see the humanity in those that others would try to dehumanize. When the shepherd calls you to follow and then he leads you to serve those you would rather not serve. The shepherd calls you to remove the box where you can keep your understanding about who he is safe and be open to all of the ways that following Jesus will lead you into deeper questions. The good shepherd tells you that doubt isn't the enemy of your faith, but essential to it because it keeps you asking the hard questions. From our first breath till our last breath, we continue to grow into that voice we hear of the shepherd. From first breath till last breath, we continue to build new cells as old ones die, and this is something we don't get to control. Our relationship with Jesus can experience the same growing, the same death and new birth, not of cells, but of beliefs, of long-held things that may keep us separate from God. Not with the possibility of full understanding and full knowledge, but with the endless curiosity to listen for the voice of the shepherd, leading us always from death into life. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us your Son, the Good Shepherd, whose voice calls to us to follow over and over again. Help us to know this voice. Help us to hear this voice above all the other voices vying for our attention and enticing us to follow them. Help us as your people to discern your voice, and as we follow, to keep growing in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.